Merry Christmas, everyone.
I hope we're spreading all the joy to everyone, especially to our families, those who are closest to us. Let's just hook up to all that beautiful joy, that Christmas joy, and let's do our best to be super spreaders of joy, right? So, this has been a difficult year, 2020, and we're toward the end of it, right? And here we are at Christmas. And, I just wanted to say, at this Christmas time, actually every day of the year, but maybe more so now, I'm so grateful and thankful to be in company with you, okay? You are the children of the light. That's what this gospel pointed to. You know, we're not children of the world. We're children of the light. And you're trying so hard to do that. And, you know, look back on the year, what you did. You know, I remember when I felt the call that we should go pray up at the Capitol, and I actually picked May 1st for whatever reason, I think month of Mary, and pray the rosary around the Capitol. And then as the day was approaching, all of a sudden out of the clear blue, the USCCB announces that that's the day they're going to consecrate the United States to Mary, Mother of the Church. So that made it special. But then what did we do? Remember, a lot of you were part of it. We did a rosary walk around where I think 200 or 300 people showed up for that. We pulled it together in like 2 or 3 days. And that was in the month of Mary. But then we felt, remember this? We felt compelled to bring now our Lord around the Capitol. And we were coming up on Corpus Christi Sunday, where traditionally we do Eucharistic processions. We said, we got to bring our Lord. Because remember, the streets were lit up. I mean, downtown is still boarded up with graffiti all over the place. But that was at the height of all that, okay? When they were tearing down statues and looting stores and burning things. And we said, you know what we got to do? We got to bring our Lord up, okay, and reclaim that surrendered ground. And I felt, too, that our Lord's Eucharistic presence would push out that evil force that was trying to gain control. You remember all this? And in essence, it did. I think there was a little spurt here and there after we processed, but not much. Especially then, because we did that, there was then a call to do it nationwide. And we picked the Feast of Our Lady of Assumption, which, by the way, is our parish feast day, August 15th, to do these Eucharistic processions nationwide, mainly through the streets that had been burned and torn apart through terrorism, and to reclaim again surrendered ground. Remember all that? Well, we did it first on Corpus Christi. We went downtown Madison. Do you remember that we carried flags? Because Corpus Christi that year happened to land on Flag Day. Now, do you remember? Now, bear with me. I'm Father Connect the Dots here, so, okay. So, but I'm getting to something here. I'm building to something here, all right? Why this particular Christmas matters after this difficult 2020. Okay. So, it was Flag Day, too. So, I ordered 200 flags. And remember, there was angst about that. We might look political. We might upset the terrorists, okay? But we did it anyway, and it was fine. But that's the kind of spirit we've been under. It's a demonic spirit that feels that it's time. That we're so weak that it's a mandate. Okay, you'll hear Nancy use that word a lot. It's a mandate to take power, to take control. That's what we're under right now. But we went up, right? Corpus Christi, hundreds went up. August 15th, I think it was 3,000. We went up and we said, we're reclaiming surrendered ground. We're pushing out the darkness with the light of Christ. See, we saw this in today's gospel. So it was Flag Day. But interestingly enough, it also happened to fall on an anniversary. I don't know if you recall what the anniversary was, but on June 14th, 1954, with the strong appeal of the Amazing Knights of Columbus, President Dwight Eisenhower signs an order and adds the words, "Under God," into the Pledge of Allegiance. We carried our flags. We brought our Lord. We reclaimed surrendered ground in the terrorist-torn streets of Madison, Wisconsin, on the feast, or on the anniversary, of the words being put into the Pledge of Allegiance under God. And so we dubbed that day our Under God procession. We want our nation under God. And so we brought our Lord out into the streets. Today we recount how our Lord was born in Bethlehem. The house of bread is what Bethlehem translates to. This year, just before Christmas, we were granted a phenomena, a celestial event, that was dubbed by virtually everyone called this Christmas star. This star on December 21st, which also happens to be the winter solstice, the darkest day of the year. Interesting. But what would happen on every day following the winter solstice? Light would progressively come into the world. The old expression, it's always darkest before the dawn. Many people have been asking, what was God up to in this once in 800 years Christmas star granted just 3 days before Christmas? 4 days. What is he up to? So you look back to what happened the last star, the last time the star appeared. The year was 1226. This was the year that St. Francis of Assisi entered eternal life. One of my favorite quotes from St. Francis of Assisi is this: "Man should tremble, the world should quake, all heaven should be deeply moved when the Son of God appears on the altar in the hands of the priest." There's the story of Claire of Assisi, St. Claire of Assisi, who was in the middle of an invasion. Their monastery was on the way to where these terrorists were about to take over. And as the story goes, Claire at that time was sickly, could hardly get out of bed. She was informed, "They're here. They're at St. Damien's grounds. They're about ready to attack." She placed in her window a silver vessel that held the consecrated host, a monstrance. And now she made this prayer: "Does it please you, O God, to deliver into the hands of these beasts the defenseless children I have nourished with your love? I beseech you, dear Lord, protect these whom I am now unable to protect." And then to her sisters she said, "Don't be afraid. Trust in Jesus." And as paintings depict, out of the monstrance came rays of light. As Claire heard the voice of a small child, the army under attack, quickly they climbed back over the walls they had scaled, utterly vanquished by the power of the Virgin's prayer. And our Lord, in their face. What was the second great event in 1226? The last time this star, Christmas star, appeared. Get this. The Roman Catholic practice of public adoration of the Blessed Sacrament outside of Mass spreads from monasteries to parishes. The practice of adoration of the Blessed Sacrament went viral that year. So, Father, connect the dots. Is saying to me, to you, to everyone who's listening, I believe that this is the spiritual therapeutic for cleansing our country of demonic influence and opening the floodgates of grace that will heal our land, bringing our country back to the spiritual health of being one nation under God again. My brothers and sisters, it's time for a movement of adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. My dream, some of you have heard me say this, is that this undercroft under our church would be transformed someday into a perpetual adoration chapel. And I happen to be best friends with the guy that runs the chapel downtown, Brian Wentz. We lift weights together when we're not doing COVID. But I talk to Brian regularly, and I'm not doing the chapel, the adoration chapel downstairs. Here's why. Because we would compete for adorers. So, and I talked to him again the other day because I brought it up, and he says, yeah, same thing. Don't take our adorers away from us, all right? But what if? What if there were so many adorers we had to open up more perpetual adoration chapels? Let's do that. I'm convinced that this is what God is trying to show us. We've hit a difficult year. What are we to do, Lord? We need a movement of adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. We began by bringing our Lord, as St. Clair did, out into the streets, pushing back the enemy. But now, a movement of tens, hundreds, millions of people on their knees. What are they doing? What are they doing? They're pushing out. They're purifying us of our sin, as it said in today's scripture. Purifying ourselves of our sin. Listen, nobody can kneel before the Blessed Sacrament and then walk out and say abortion's okay. Yeah, let's do gay marriage. You can't do it. You can't do it. So not only are you pouring in the light and truth of God into your own heart, but you are literally a conduit of that grace. It's coming through you and out into the world, and we're pushing out the darkness. I 100% absolutely believe that this is what God is telling us, the way to purify our nation, the way to heal our land. We need a movement of adoration. My brothers and sisters, today we begin the 12 days of Christmas. It leads up to the Epiphany. What do we see then? That's one of the three times that Jesus is literally exposed to the world. The Epiphany, the Presentation, and the wedding at Cana, where Mary goes up to Jesus, hey, I think it's time. And he goes, I don't know, Mom. And then she doesn't even listen to him. Do whatever he tells you. She tells the waiters. He's exposed. He's exposed. We're leading up to the great feast of Epiphany, the time in which the three wise men came to do what? To adore the baby Jesus. These were men who were in their own right seen as elite among their culture, but not so proud that they couldn't humble themselves to lay prostrate and offer the best gifts they could possibly think of to the baby Jesus, which would be gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, I'm not saying that this movement stops at Epiphany. This movement starts, and I'm going to work aggressively at this. And please help too. And here's how we get an Adoration Chapel here. Because there's so many adorers downtown that we need to build more. So that's phase one. Let's load that place up, okay? Let's load. And I don't ever want that adoration downtown taken away in the middle of Communist Madison. Are you kidding me? We need one right there. Here's the interesting fact as well. With all these processions that we've done downtown, where did they begin? At the doorway to Madison's Adoration Chapel, right in the parking lot. All of this, again, you got Father Connect the Dots here. Okay? All of this is telling us that this is the spiritual therapeutic to purify our land, to heal our land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people humble themselves, lay prostrate, do penance, I will heal their land. So, we're getting all kinds of wonderful gifts this Christmas, and thank you, all of you. I've got this mountain going on at my rectory right now. Thank you for all the wonderful gifts. And you all are getting wonderful gifts too. But whose birthday is it? Whose birthday is it? He gave us a star. He told us through that star what to do. Come, let us adore him. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.